On Monday, the nation lost one of its most memorable political scallywags. Hated by some, beloved by many, Richard Gregory Tuck, or Dick Tuck, as his friends and enemies knew him, passed away in Tucson on Memorial Day. An Arizona native, Tuck climbed the political ladder to rub shoulders with the Kennedys, President Nixon, and Barry Goldwater, and he is famous for the pranks that he played on them. To tell us more about Tuck's life and unbelievable political career, I got a hold of the arts and culture producer for Arizona Illustrated, Andrew Brown. He profiled Tuck in 2016 for Arizona Public Media.
Dick Tuck was a famous political prankster, I guess, and he was just a guy who seemed to live many, many lives during his lifetime. He was just a guy who was always able to put himself in the center of big situations, whether it be as a Democratic strategist or as a writer, or he just had the knack for being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And when did you meet him? Sort of toward the end of his life, right?
I met him at the end of his life. I would go to events at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Tucson, and there was always this guy there who was kind of quiet, and he wore aviators with like colored lenses, a sport coat, a bow tie with shorts and high socks. And I thought, this guy has like the coolest style I've ever seen. And I just wanted to get to know who he was. And as I started asking around about him, yeah, just this really deep history emerged of all the things he's done. It doesn't even sound real when you first start to list off some of the things that he was involved in.
Right, right. And people today might not have heard of Dick Tuck, right? But 40, 50 years ago, everybody kind of knew him, especially here in Arizona, it sounds like. So tell us a little bit about some of those famous pranks and some of the high circles he found himself in.
Yeah, so he, I guess, got his start when he was working for Helena Gehagan Douglas when she was running for state senate in California against Richard Nixon. And something about Nixon and the way that he treated her kind of spawned like a lifelong rivalry with Richard Nixon. So one of his first pranks was he organized a rally for Nixon on a University of California campus, and he got all the press to show up, but didn't advertise it at all. So I think there was something like 20 some odd students that came to the event, and it was empty. And it made headlines that Nixon had this huge thing. So he did it kind of surreptitiously through volunteering for Nixon. And that's kind of at the heart of the way that he would organize these pranks. It wasn't ever mean-spirited, but they were just really funny. He got a bunch of pregnant women to go to a rally and hold up Nixon's The One signs. That's a good one. Legend has it, I should preface almost everything I say with that he dressed up as a conductor, and Nixon was stopped at a campaign rally to give a press conference off the back of a train. And as soon as the press conference started, Dick, as the conductor, waved the train on. And so right as he was starting his press conference, the train took off. And he was really good at finding these little niches that would make headlines, you know? That's what he said he figured out really early on how to do.
Dick hired an elderly woman wearing a Nixon button to approach Nixon and say, "That's all right, son. You'll get him next time." This was the first indication to Nixon that he'd lost, and the prank made headlines.
Mr. Nixon, would you like to comment on that statement?
I have no comment. I learned very early on the way news works. If you had a good story, then you would be in tomorrow's paper. Well, I got pretty good at figuring out what a good story was.
His relationship with Hunter S. Thompson was really interesting. And when Hunter S. Thompson was writing Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail, Dick was his main contact and fixer to get him into all of these political conventions and rallies and things like that. And so he hung out with Hunter S. Thompson a lot, to the point where when Dick got married in Aspen, Hunter S. Thompson showed up at his wedding and signed a copy of Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail with a gun. He shot a hole through it during his wedding. And the footage in the piece is really wild.
That's all right, Hunter. That's okay. That glass lasts as long as most of Hunter's marriages.
Thompson breaks a glass, and the ceremony continues. After the ceremony, Thompson shoots a hole through a copy of Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, 1972, and gives it to Dick as a wedding present.
And Dick actually also ran for office himself at one point, right?
Yeah, he ran for state senate in California, and he announced his candidacy in a cemetery. He said the dead had the right to vote, too. And when he lost the election, he, again, it's hard to prove if it's fact or fiction, but he coined the phrase, "The people have spoken, the bastards."
The bastards. It sounds like if he were alive today, he would sort of be like the ultimate online troll. But you knew him sort of at the end of his life, and he was living in an assisted living facility in Tucson. Tell me about that and how, what he had to say about all of this toward the end.
So I met him when he was living in Tucson, and there's a really good community of people who kind of found out that he was living here. I think he was born in Hayden, Arizona, and just wanted to return to Arizona at the end of his life. And I think he was really perplexed by Trump. And I think probably it was pretty sad for him to see, because I think even with the things that he did with Nixon, there was like mutual respect between him and Nixon, to the point where even when he was running for state senate in California, Nixon offered to help him run his campaign. And I think a lot of that has gone by the wayside, and things have gotten a little bit meaner, maybe a little bit more nasty, maybe a little bit more just less civil. And I think that was probably pretty hard for him to watch. When I did the piece on him, I hung out with him in his house, and he was watching Trump, and it was the first presidential election that he hadn't covered in over 40 years. And I don't think he was really all that upset about it. I think he was kind of just happy to be done with it all.
All right. That's Andrew Brown, arts and culture producer for Arizona Illustrated. Andrew, thank you for joining us to talk to us about Dick today.
Thank you so much.